Start by going back to the Ramban's Hakdama to Shemos. Okay, just to understand how Shemos works in conjunction with Bereshis. Welcome. We have one chair over here. It has the number 306 on the back, which is Gematria Devash. So it's a sweet seat. I don't know, yeah. It's almost Purim, though. Okay, so how does Shemos work in conjunction with Bereshis? So first of all, what do Chazal call Sefer Shemos? The Gemara refers to Sefer Shemos by another name. What is it called, Sefer Shemos? The Ramban actually likes to refer to it as the Sefer of Gullis and Geula, which is of course what it is. It's the Gullis of Mitzrayim and the emergence from Mitzrayim. But Chazal actually refer to Sefer Shemos in some places. The Gemara refers to it as Sefer Sheni, Book 2. Or creative name. Book 2. So the Nitziv, in his introduction to Shemos, in the Hamek Davar, the Nitziv, in his commentary on Chumash, so he says, no, Chazal are not just, it's not like they couldn't come up with a good name for it. What they're explaining to us is that Shemos is really a Hemshech, it's a continuation of Book 1. In other words, the seeds that were planted in Chumash Bereishis are starting to sprout in Chumash Shemos. Which, of course, is very much a theme that we've seen in Ramban this year. No? Maisa Avos, Simon Labanim. Right? That the Avos kind of pave the way, they plant the seeds. And then we're walking in their footsteps. Okay? Which, of course, is also the reason that Chumash Shemos begins with what word? Ve'ela. How does Chumash Devarim begin? How? Eila, not ve'ela. Shemos begins ve'ela Shemos. Devarim begins Eila ha-Devarim. What's the difference between an Eila versus a ve'ela? What's the difference between the two? Ve'ela Shemos. When there's a vav, that means what? It's continuation, right? That's what vav always means, and the Medrash says it explicitly. That the vav is what? Is moisif al rishonim. It adds on to what was previously there. Ve'ela comes to add something new. So in other words, don't think that we're starting like a new story. All the seeds that we planted in Chumash Bereishis are starting to flourish in Chumash Shemos, and that's why it's book Sheni, book two. Right? It's called book two because you can't really understand the purpose of Bereishis without Shemos, and you can't understand how a Shemos could take place without understanding the backdrop of Bereishis. Okay? The two have to go hand in hand. That's the Ve'ela Shemos. So says the Ramban in a very similar fashion in his introduction to Shemos. Hishlim ha-kosav sefer Bereishis, shu sipur ha-yitzira b'chidish ha-olam, v'yitziras kol notzar. The Torah has now completed Chumash Bereishis, which told us the story of creation of the world, and all that is created within it. But it's not just talking about Hashem made the moon and the stars and the sun, and the sun made grass, and Hashem made plants, and Hashem made fish, and Hashem made birds. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also created, right? Not only in like a literal creation sense, but Hashem created the storyline of everything that's about to happen. Uvemikre ha'avos, the happenings of the avos. Sheheim ke'ein yitzira lezaram. That was like the formation of what's going to happen with us. In other words, you want to understand your life, you have to study the life of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You have to. You have to try to see the roots of your life in the story of the avos. So it's not just that Hashem created the first chicken, which is, you know, the parent of all future chickens. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, created the world in a physical sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, again, the underpinnings of reality, and especially reality for Klal Yisrael. Bipnei shekol mikrehem, because everything that happens to them. Tziurei devarim, lirmoz ulahodiyah kol ha'asi lavo lahem. Because if you study the stories of the Avos carefully, you'll see that everything that happened to them is being merames, it's alluding to, it's teaching us everything that's going to come from that. Okay, so when you start Shemos, it's not like you forget Bereishis. You're trying to see, how does something that happened in a microcosm type of way in Bereishis now happen in a more expansive way in Shemos? Right? How did what Avraham went through in his difficult period when he came to Eretz Yisrael and Lech Lecha and then left because of the famine, went to Mitzrayim and Sarah was afflicted there. How is that the backdrop for us collectively going to Mitzrayim and suffering there? Okay, so that's called reading between the lines, that's Ma'aseh Avos Simon Labanim. Va'acharei shehishlam ha'yitzira, so now that Hashem completed the foundation of creation, hischil sefer acher be'inyan ha'maisa haba min ha'ramazim ahem. Now the seeds are starting to sprout. Now we begin a book that expounds upon all of the actions that come from all of those things that were hinted to. And Chavetz is an important thing in our own lives, right? Because we have moments in our life where we're still like in the remez stage, where Hashem is kind of like hinting to us certain things, planting seeds. And it's only years later, if you're paying attention, to realize, whoa, that's crazy. That's why that happened to me? Oh, that was the seed that led to this success, or that was, you know, the lesson that Hashem wanted me to learn. It's only years later, right? There's a Maisa Avos Simon Labanim within oneself. Because we're also being recreated. We're like recreating ourselves, right? Or to try to think back, to have the sensitivity to think back, the people who molded my life. Think about parents, grandparents. Think about your great-great-great-grandparents you probably know very little about, if anything about. And think about, have a little Hakar Satov to them. In like some abstract kind of way. Like, hold on, I probably have a great-great-great-grandmother who was Moser Nefesh in some way that got me here today, learning Torah. That's powerful to think about. And to try to make those ve'ela, to make those vavs, those connections. Right, to see yourself as a continuation of the story, okay, and that's what he says. V'nisiachid sefer ve'eila shemos ve'inyan hagalas harishon, and this book of ve'eila shemos is primarily, specifically about the first galus, the root of all galus, which is galus Mitzrayim, hanigzar beferish, which was explicitly decreed. Who was told that there's going to be such a galus? Avram by the Brisbane of Basarim, right? We weren't told as explicitly that there's going to be a Gullus Edom, which we're in now for 2,000 years. It wasn't given over in the same way. But Hashem told Avram from the beginning, you want to be a Yid? There's going to be Gullus. There's going to be a process called Gullus. Uva Ge'ula Mimenu. And then the book, of course, continues with what? With getting out of Mitzrayim. Getting out of this mess. V'lachein chazer v'hischil b'shemos yardei Mitzrayim. So why does the Sefer begin by going back and telling us the names of... How does Shemos begin? Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael abba Mitzrayimah, Eis Yaakov Ishu Vesobo, Ruven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, v'chulu. It starts listing off the names again. We know who's in Mitzrayim. We know it from the end of Vayigash. In Parshas Vayigash already, it already told us who's coming down to Mitzrayim. Why are you going... Ramban wants to know, why are we going back and introducing all the characters again? V'lachein, again, Chazer v'hischil b'shemos yardei Mitzrayim. We go back and we review the names of those who came down to Mitzrayim. Umisparam, and we take a head count again. Afal pi shekvar nechtav zeh, even though we already, again, learned this in Parshas Vayigash. Bavor, to understand, so that we can understand. Ki yiridasam sham hu reishis hagalus, ki me'oz hu chal. To understand that the galus began as soon as the family of Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim. And the Ramban is saying an important thing. Because if I were to ask you, where does galus Mitzrayim start? Where does it start? So you'll say, I don't know, I guess when they started to enslave the Jews. Or when they started to manipulate us, even if we weren't their full-fledged slaves yet. But the truth is, right, as soon as a Jew goes to a place where it's not really his place, that's called galus. Certainly when the whole family of Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, even though they're not slaves, they didn't come to it, they're actually very respected at first. But that's called galus. Yosef was already in galus, no? Yosef was really the first one to be in galus Mitzrayim. Right? When a Jew is not where he belongs, that's called galus. That's an important thing to realize. Because sometimes a person feels that, like, you know, this I'm in a situation, but it's not such a terrible situation. I'm not a slave. It's not the most spiritually destructive environment I've ever been in. But when a Jew is a little bit detached from where he's supposed to be, spiritually, emotionally, right, that's called galus. So the Torah wants us to know, as soon as they get to Mitzrayim, Haba'im Mitzrayim, as soon as they arrive in Mitzrayim, that's already the beginning of Galus. And that's also, again, something you have to think about. Because when I put myself in a certain situation, it might not be so Galus-y right now, but realize, be careful. The seeds of Galus are being planted in that moment. Okay, so that's where the Galus begins. V'nei ha-Galus einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el mekomam ve'el malas avosam yashuvu. And when does Galus end? When does Galus end? Does Galus Mitzrayim end when they walk out the gates of Mitzrayim? No. When we get back to our proper place. Again, we spend a lot of our life kind of like in this what we would maybe consider like neutral zone, but it's not really neutral. The Ramban's saying it's not neutral. Right? You're either where you belong or where you're not, where you don't belong. And we're supposed to try to feel that in a real way. To try to return to the place and to the maila, to the madrega, to the level of the avos. To try to get back, you know, in line, so to speak. It's important. We have to see ourselves. We are the children. We are the direct descendants of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. We have to lean into that. I don't think about that enough. It's like a big achrayus, no? Imagine you found out today, right, that you're a ben achr ben of the Baal Shem. You just found out today. You're a ben achr ben of the Rambam. Direct descendant, right, of the Rambam. A direct descendant of the Vilna Gaon. A direct descendant of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Right? That's an achrayus. You feel like my great-great-great-great-grandfather was such a tzaddik, such a Talmud Chacham. Right? That should motivate you to want to learn more seriously and daven more seriously and be a bigger Jew. That should inspire you. So we all have to live with that. Right? The Ramban is saying, we went to Mitzrayim, and now we're coming out of Mitzrayim, but we have to realize getting out of Gaulis doesn't just mean getting out from under the Egyptian whip. Getting out of Gaulis means coming back to the place of the Jewish people, coming back to the Maila, to the Madrega of the Avos, to try to see ourselves as a continuation of them. U'kishiyatsu me'mitzrayim afal pishiyatsu me'beis avadim adayin yechashvu golem. Strong line. That even when we walked out of the Beis Avadim, even though we were no longer slaves, however, that's still called Galus. I always think, many years ago when I taught in high school, I was talking about Galus. And I was talking about how we're in Galus now. We're in Galus. Right now we're in Galus. We're in Galus Edom. Right? Mitzrayim is the root of exile. That's where it all began. It's like a super Galus. And then Chazal talk about four exiles of Jewish history. Right? We have Bavel, destroyed the first base of Mikdash. We have Paras Umadai, that's the Purim story. Then we have Yavan, that's Hanukkah. And then we have Rome, we have Edom, destroyed the second base of Mikdash. And that's where we've been for, you know, close to 2,000 years. So I was talking to this class about what it means to be in Galus. So this kid says to me, wait, we're in Galus? I was like, yeah, of course we're in Galus. He's like, it doesn't feel like we're in Galus. I was like, that's exactly the biggest proof in the world that we're in Galus. We've become so numb, we don't even realize, like, once upon a time, we had a Beis HaMikdash. That's not science fiction, Chavra. That's like, that's us, that's our people, Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash. Like, we have to know that. So just because, Baruch Hashem, and I'm not saying that facetiously, Baruch Hashem, that we can practice our religion freely in this country, and we have a lot to be very, very thankful for. But let's not forget, you go to sleep in Galus and you wake up in Galus every day. Why? Who's my taskmaster? Who's whipping me? Who's forcing me to build pyramids? The answer is no one. But afal pishi yatsumi beis avadim, even though you're not a slave per se, adayin yechashvu golem. We're still lost. We're still lost. We got to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Isaac, you here? We got to get back to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Avraham, you here? We got to make Aliasim. Giazman. Okay, ki hayu be'eretz lo lahem nevoichim b'midbar. Because we're still not home. The Jewish people are still in a land that's not theirs, and they're nevoichim b'midbar. What does nevoichim mean? The Rambam Mor nevuchim. We're lost, we're confused, we're disoriented in the midbar. Trying to find our way. Teret Yisrael, Mark, give me one second. U'kishabo el har Sinai v'osu ha-mishkan. Now let's explain, what does it mean to be home? Because the truth is, when you're in this room, we're not in Galus. We're sitting here learning Torah, we're not in Galus. Where is home base? Eretz Yisrael. Okay. First of all, you could be in Eretz Yisrael and still be in Galus. Lo aleinu, it's possible for a person to physically be in Eretz Yisrael, but to not be mekusher in the right way. And it's also possible to be in Chutz La'aretz, but to be in Eretz Yisrael. How are we in Eretz Yisrael? The base medrash is Eretz Yisrael. U'kishabo el har Sinai, when we came to har Sinai, which, by the way, is not in Israel, right? When we came to har Sinai, va'asu ha-mishkan, and we built the space for Hashem, that's called being in Geula. V'shav ha-kadosh baruch hu v'hishra shechinaso b'neim, and Hashem brought His Shechina back upon us, oz shavu el ma'alas avosam. That's like being one of the avos. Avram had a tent. His tent was filled with the presence of God. So when we, the Jewish people, When we what? When we build a space for Hashem, a shir room, a base medrash, a shul, right? Even our apartment, if we imbue it with kedusha, if we make it a holy space for God, so that's called being in geula. Right? You walk outside, you're walking in the street, and you're not thinking about Hashem, that's called galus. You can make your bodies also can be in a state of geula, right? You can turn yourself into a little mishkan, that's how it's supposed to be. Shechanti besocham, the shechina is supposed to dwell inside of us. But that's the goal. The goal is to, when we get to Har Sinai, just because we left Mitzrayim doesn't mean that we experience geula. Oh, we got the Torah. We make a mishkan. Now we're talking. And that's why part two of book two is all about what? Getting the Torah and setting up the mishkan. Right? Because you don't have geula. You understand what the Ramban is saying? You don't have real geula until what? Until you have a Torah, until you build the space for Hashem. Shayasod eloka alai ahalehem. Which is based on a pasuk in Iyov. To bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into your midst. V'heim heim ha-merkava. What does that mean? Heim heim ha-merkava. What's a merkava?
Chariot.
A chariot. Who is the merkava? The Obos, with the divine chariot. In other words, what's the chariot? The chariot carries the rider. Hashem is the rider. Hashem is the king who's riding through this world. Who's driving Hashem through this world? Who's the chariot? Who's the vehicle to bring Hashem into this world? To get Hashem around the world, so to speak. It's us. The Avos were the Merkava, and our job is to try to be like them, to be a Merkava l'Shechina, to be a chariot, right? To be a vessel for the Shechina to rest upon. V'oz nechshavu geulim, and then that's called geula. V'lechei nishlam ha-sefer hazeh b'hashlimu inyan ha-mishkan uvios kvod Hashem male osot hamid. And that's why the end of Sefer Shemos is all about the detailed construction of the Mishkan and making a space for the glory of Hashem to reside within it constantly. Okay, Rav Mark, what do you want to say?
I was going to ask
Moshe Elimelech, right?
Yeah,
okay, Moshe Elimelech, talk to me.
I was going to ask the Yvonne, like the Yvonne's Yvonne, it happened in Israel.
Yeah.
So I guess
that's a proof.
You kind of answer that, yeah, like even though they're in Israel, because the Greeks, like, came with like the temple, in that sense, God was in Israel.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Chanukah is the proof that you could be in Israel and still be in a state of galus. Right? How can you call that galus? All they did was, you know, not all they did, but they defiled the temple. They didn't kick us out of the land. They didn't even destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And yet that's called galus. Right? In a certain sense, it's the darkest galus. Because that's the scariest. That type of galus is very terrifying. In other words, it's sad that I said to, you know, a 10th grade high school kid wearing galus, and he's like, oh, I never heard that before. Right? Should at least hear about it. Maybe we don't feel it all the time. Should at least know. We should know, you know, there's something better that we're striving towards. Right? Should at least be aware of that. But what's very scary is when you're in a state of galus and you don't even realize that you're in galus. Right? That's part of what Yavan tried to do. The choshech of Yavan, the darkness of Yavan, and the light of Chanukah is trying to just help us to see what's what. If you're in the dark, you get confused what's what. So you could think that you're in a state of geula. What do I mean? I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. We still have Beis HaMikdash. But in a very subtle and evil way, our enemies are undermining the whole, you know, the whole life of Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. No, I don't think they're saying, no one could say that we're not in galus. It's a good question. Yeah, what do you want to say? Oh, it's Chief Sfardi Chacham, yeah.
There are different opinions about whether or not we can be happy in galus. So, you can't duchen if you're not happy. So that's the
opinion. So Ashkenazim are depressed and Sfardim are not to have a good time. Sfardim not have a good time even in galus. Ashkenazim, we walk around all bummed out, you know? Oh yeah, it's a good question though. It does. There are very interesting Torahs about the panemius of being Ashkenazi or Sephardi. No, I'm serious. There's real Torah about a soulful difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardim. Sephardim are much more mekusher to panemius of Torah, which is why that even in Galus they can have a more positive perspective as opposed to just kind of the heaviness of the Galus. There's a deep truth to that. Again, I'm speaking generally, but there is a very deep truth to that. Yes, sir.
Like growing up, I remember having conversations with some of my friends about what happens when Mashiach comes, stuff like that. A lot of response I remember hearing is that they don't really want it to come. They're pretty comfortable where they are now. And I think that's probably a scarier proof that
yeah.
we're actually deep in.
It's very sad. It's a very sad and scary trip. There's a story with the Rebbe of Chernobyl. At one time he was, let me see if I can get it right. He was staying somewhere. He was staying at some inn. And what was it? I think he was complaining about how the local Gentiles are always, you know, stealing his stuff and taking advantage of him. So the Rebbe said, you know, like, well, why don't you get back to Eretz Yisrael? Why don't you try to get back to Eretz Yisrael? You don't have to be here. You know, pick up, close down your little kretschmir, your little inn, and go back to Eretz Yisrael. There's a little more to the story. I'm messing it up because I don't remember it exactly. But basically, the guy said, okay, let me go ask my wife. You know, can't make a decision without your wife. So this Pasha guy, he goes and asks the wife. He comes back to the Rebbe of Chernobyl, and he says my wife's wanted me to ask you if it's possible for you to daven that all the non-Jews can go to Eretz Yisrael to leave us alone instead. Like, instead of, like, we're very comfortable here, so, like, if you could use your powers to, instead of davening that Mashiach should come and get us back to Eretz Yisrael, maybe you can daven that, you know, everyone else will move to Eretz Yisrael and we can stay here. Like, that's a gullus mindset. That's a total gullus mindset. So yeah, unfortunately, we do get comfortable. Again, it's a bracha to be able to function, right? Thank you, Hashem. We're not in Mitzrayim. Think we're in gullus America. But gullus America is a very scary thing. You have to be very, very much aware of, you know, the dangers. Yeah.
So, according to what we said about the reason for not duffening outside of Eretz Yisrael is the fact that we're in Gaulus over here. So are we saying that when we're in Eretz Yisrael, even nowadays, you're not in Gaulus?
You're less in Gaulus, I guess. Right? And you're closer to home base. Again, it's imperfect. We have to be very much aware for that.
I'm saying if the Yavon Gaulus was Gaulus and we were in Eretz Yisrael then
In Eretz Yisrael, they also say in the Yom Noram Davening, "Mubnecha te'enu galinu me'aretzeno." It's an interesting question. What do you mean? I'm saying that in Israel. Why am I saying that? So Shimon Schwab explains in his Sefer that yes, it's possible to be in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, even a Jew in Eretz Yisrael has to realize he's still not in Aretzeno. It's not the Eretz Yisrael that we're longing for 100%. We're getting a lot closer. Baruch Hashem, we're getting a lot closer. But we're not. We have to know we're not there yet. Right? We have to know that there's more to go. But that's the overview. That's the Ramban's overview of Sefer Shmos. Just go to the end of Sefer Shmos, like literally the last paragraph in his commentary on Shmos, when he concludes his Peirush on Shmos. Just to show you how it goes hand in hand.
Sefer Shmos.
Yeah, the very. Right, Mamash, go to the end. The whole end of this. Probably the last page in your book, if you have the two volumes. You see where it says "Vihinei Nishlam Sefer Hagula"? You guys see that in the back? The very end, "Vihinei"?
No.
What should we after that? Keep going. Mamish, like the last "Vihinei"? The last paragraph, maybe. "Vihinei Nishlam Sefer Hagula"?
Yeah,
that over there. Literally the last paragraph on the "Vihinei Nishlam Sefer Hagula." You see it? The very end of Pekudei, literally the last paragraph. V'hinei nishlam sefer ha-ge'ula. Yeah, right there, Yoni. That, you see it? That bottom paragraph. V'hinei nishlam sefer ha-ge'ula. That's how the Ramban calls it, the sefer ha-ge'ula. Right? This is the sefer ha-ge'ula. Again, we call it Shemos. Chazal called it Book 2. The Ramban says, no, this book is the Book of Ge'ula. Asher Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bavo Livnei Yisrael Am Krovo. He's writing a poem that Hashem in this book comes to Klal Yisrael finally. Right? Hashem comes not just to individuals. Hashem comes to the Jewish people. He comes to Bnei Yisrael Am Krovo, his beloved and close nation. Hoshi'o Misono Ugo'alo Miyad Oivo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems us and saves us from the enemy to make us his. Ve'elav yavo ba'alfei shin'an ve'rechev ribo. And then Hashem came to us at our Sinai with multitudes of angels. Laseis lo toras emes lahanchil yesh es ohavo. To grant us his Torah and to give us yesh. Yesh means substance. But it's alluding to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a person who lives a righteous life is zocha to 310 worlds, whatever that means. Gematria, the word yesh. So Hashem, through the Torah, helps us to get yesh. L'hanchil yesh es o'avo. But of course, the Ramban says, it's not just about getting the Torah. Bona be'zvul lishkon shchinaso al kruvo. Again, to have redemption is not just getting out from under the whip. It means getting the Torah, and it means building a beis zvul, building a beis hamikdash, building a mishkan for the Shechina to reside al kruvo, on top of the kruvim. U'mikdash l'mikdash sha'melech b'misibo. A place where the king can establish his presence. Okay, so this is, again, this is an important closing comment to the Ramban, because he tells you this, if you want a name for Sefer Shmos, it's called the Sefer Gula. This is the book of Gula. But the Ramban wants us to know, what is Gula? Gula is not just, you know, working less hard for some evil oppressor. That's not Gula. You could be a very free person in a physical sense and still be a slave to your neshama can be totally enslaved. Okay? Beseder? Okay. Yeah, David.
While
David asks the question, everyone turn to Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Hei. Okay, go all the way back to the beginning. Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Hei. Yeah.
I find that interesting in contrast to Potaro, how he seemingly forgets all that's happened before, and so
right.
Everything is starting anew. Like
exactly. That's a great point. Right? Potaro loves living without context. Asher lo yada es Yosef. He would love to forget the kindness of Yosef. He would love to forget the kindness of Yaakov. Right? Ramban speaks a lot about that. You know, we're not going to do it now, but he speaks a lot about the very evil and treacherous and betrayal of Paro and Mitzrayim to the Jewish people. And how they did so in such a subtle and evil way. How they slowly broke us down. Ramban speaks at length. But yeah, exactly. We're people who we obsess over our context, right? We love our history. Zuchor Yemos Olam Bino Shnos Dor Vador. Gotta learn Jewish history. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Yeah. You're right, the Iker is an internal avoda, but it's both, right? Shuvam el makomam, the el mala savosam. There's a place, there's a reason. You know, that's not a real question. You know the answer to that question. You're a different Jew in Eretz Yisrael, you know that. We all know that. It's not the be all and end all. Yeah, you could be in Eretz Yisrael and not be a real Eved Hashem. But I don't know. When I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I get in some guy's cab, and he puts on his yarmulke because he sees that I don't know because I have a yarmulke, right? And I hear the way he talks about his life in Eretz Yisrael, and he asks me where I'm from, and I'm embarrassed, you know, and shamefaced. I say I'm from New Jersey, and he says, "Oh, New Jersey." Sometimes I've heard of Teaneck, you know, Teaneck, you know, and I'm in awe of this guy. I'm sure, I've learned more Torah than some of those cab drivers. But there's a certain reality that they're living that I'm not. We have to be humbled by that. It's not the be-all and end-all. No, it's not a quick fix to being an Eved Hashem. You don't just move to Eretz Yisrael. But let's be honest, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you feel Hashras Hashchina in a different way. Even in Galus. No? So again, we can't make an Avodah Zarah out of it. It's not, I live in Eretz Yisrael, therefore I'm exempt from everything else. It doesn't work like that. But okay. No. It's a process. Yeah?
Can I tell a cab story?
Sure. If you feel that you must, go for it.
It's actually from Boca, but it felt like Eretz Yisrael in the cab. So we were on the way to family in Boca from Lauderdale Airport. And this guy sees that I'm wearing a kippah, and so he like starts asking questions, and then goes into saying that he's like this Hispanic guy,
yeah.
And he goes into this whole long story about how his son converted for this girl, and they like had their wedding in Yerushalayim, and like
went on, and now he's the chassid, like living in like Crown Heights. Like,
really?
Sorry, no. He's living. He was in Crown Heights for a bit. Now he's back in Florida, and there he's like spreading like chassidus there. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty wild.
The cab driver's like still not.
And he like Jewish, no, not Jewish at all. But he like put on his kippah and said like I wore this like at my son's wedding.
Wow. Wow.
Fascinating.
Name's Jose.
Jose. Ben Jose. Yeah, okay. Avram Ben Jose.
Soon to be
Yosef. Gets called to the Torah. Yeah. Soon to be Yosef. Oh wow. Fascinating. Yeah, you meet interesting people in the world when you're, you know, when you're paying attention. All right, let's go to Perek Bey's Pasuk Chafei. Who's got the page? Reish Ches. Okay, let's take a look. So the end of Perek Bey's is a turning point in this story. Again, we're obviously skipping a lap, and Israel are suffering terribly. And then the Pasuk finally says, and again, I want to use this Pasuk as a lesson, but as a tefillah for us at the beginning of the Nuzman. Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, vayeda Elokim. Hashem saw b'nei Yisrael, and Hashem knew. What does that mean, Hashem knew? Hashem saw and Hashem knew. Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, Hashem saw and Hashem knew. Okay, so let's see. Perish Rabbi Avram. He starts by quoting the Ibn Ezra. Ki ra ha-chamas shahayu mitzrayim osim lahem begaloi. What does it mean Hashem saw and Hashem knew? Says the Ibn Ezra, says Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, Ibn Ezra, who the Ramban often quotes, he saw the treachery, the Hamas, the evil, that the Mitzrim did openly. Hashem saw that, right? As anyone could see it, it was revealed for all to see. Vayeda Elokim, but Hashem also what? What else did Hashem... No, Hashem knew what? Ha'osoy lahem b'seisar. Hashem also knew what the Egyptians did to them secretly. In other words, Hashem keeps score. Right? Hashem knows the additional, you know, psychological pain that's taking place in the mind and the hearts of the Jewish people. He knows what's happening in the closed meetings of Paro's cabinet, discussing secret plans. Right? So it's not just that Hashem looked down, as any human being would look at the way we're being treated externally and say, oh my gosh, look what they're doing to these people. Right? But Hashem took into consideration also the pain the Jewish people had in their hearts, that which was done against us, B'Seser. That's Ibn Ezra. V'Rashi Pirish, Rashi explains, V'yeda Elokim nasan aleihem lev v'lo he'elim eino mehem. V'yeda Elokim means not only did Hashem see it, but you could see something and not be moved by it. Right? Unfortunately, we've all had that experience. You're driving on the highway and you see a car on the side of the road, there was a little accident and everyone's slowing down to look, but no one's pulling over to help. Right? Sometimes you're not helping because whatever, the police are already there and they're taking care of it. What are you looking for? Why are we looking? What kind of way is that to be? We're just curious. We're curious or just want to see what's going on? That's not, who does that help? Right? Do I say a parak of Tehillim for the person who was in the accident, hoping that everyone's okay? I hope, maybe I can do that. Vayeda Elokim means Hashem saw and Hashem knew. Hashem knew it. He felt it in a deep way, kiviyachol. Hashem was aware, says Rashi. Nasan aleihem lev. Hashem put his heart to Klal Yisrael. Right? Hashem not only observed what was going on, but Hashem felt it in a deep way. V'nachon hu al derech ha-pshat. But what's correct according to the pshat, ki b'tchila hayamastir ponav mehem v'haya le'echol. Initially, yes, initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed his face from them, allowing us to be devoured. But now Hashem, right? Of course Hashem knew all along. Again, obviously, right? That's part of the question here. What do you mean God knew? God didn't know beforehand. Hashem always knows. But Hashem transitioned from what? Hashem transitioned from knowing it and ignoring it, because he wanted Bnei Yisrael to suffer, to now saying, okay, Ad Kan, the suffering, Hashem's is now paying attention, so to speak, again. He's listening to our cries. Lo marshal lo hister pon of od mehem. Hashem is no longer going to hide his face from us. V'yeida es machovam. And Hashem is going to what? He's going to deeply feel our pain. To become aware, in quotes, so to speak, of our pain. V'chol anas lehem v'es kol atzarech lehem. To recognize all that we're going through and to recognize all of our needs. Ukamo, like we find in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, va'ata es avdecha yadata. A yadia means feeling it, not just knowing it intellectually, not just observing it with your eyes, but feeling it in a deep way. V'hericha kasuv lahazkir tainos rabos begulasam. And the pasuk speaks at length, again describing the various modes by which we try to reconnect with Hashem and that Hashem was reconnecting with us. Vayishma Elokim es na'akasam. Hashem heard our cries. Vayizkor Elokim es briso. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the bris. Right? Vayar Elokim. Then Hashem saw. Vayed Elokim. And Hashem knew. Again, each of these expressions, Chevra, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? Reconnecting with us. Ki yadati es machovav. How many psukim do we have of Hashem saying, I saw and I heard and I felt and I knew and I acknowledged and I... Right? Now, let's ask it from a different angle for a second and we'll read the last line. You'll see a beautiful, beautiful punchline. Says the Ramban, hold on a second. Why are we getting out of Mitzrayim? Why are we getting out of Mitzrayim at this point? If I would have asked you, before we learned anything today, when the Jews finally left Mitzrayim, why did they leave at that point, at that time? What would you answer? No, Dovi, what would you say? The 49th level of Tumah, they were on the verge of self-destruction. They had to get out, right? Maybe they had suffered enough. They were supposed to suffer for 400 years. Maybe they suffered enough in 210 years that they had filled the quota, right? We learned when Yosef HaTzadik was in jail, right? All the Mefarshim, the Medrash quotes, all the Mefarshim quote the Pasuk, I think it's an Eov, Ketz Sam L'Choshech. Hashem establishes a Ketz, an end time to the darkness. In other words, when the time to get out arrives, you get out, right? Yosef is sitting in jail for all those years. When it's finally time for him to get out, they rush him out of jail. When his sentence expires, it expires. So why are Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim now? Presumably because their sentence is up. Says the Ramban, you know what the Torah is doing? Look what the Torah is doing. Take a look. Ki af al pi shenishlam hazman shenigzar layhem. This is a very important line, Chevra. Even though the zman, the allotted time that was decreed against them has expired. Lo hayiruim lihigael. You don't just get to go out. Why not? Why not? Kemoshim b'foyrash al yidei Yecheskel, as is expounded in Sefer Yecheskel in the 20th chapter. Ela mipnei hatzaka kibel tfilasam berachamav. Just because the sentence is over, you still need to communicate with Hashem. You need to daven. In other words, there are things that are supposed to happen. Every one of us has certain things that are set into our life, that are built into our life story. Decrees. Good things, bad things, things that are supposed to be as part of our experience. But when we daven, we bring those things to reality, or we stop those things from becoming reality. You see? Again, just because, afalp, even though shenishlam azman shenigzarlam, even though the time was up, right? Lo hayiruim lihigal. But you're still not eligible to leave, to transition from Galus to Geula. But when you cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, in other words, the Ramban is saying in one sentence, you always need tefillah. A Jew always needs tefillah. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't look like, no matter how much everything is in place and everything is going to just snap into place on its own, you always need tefillah. There's a million and one reasons why Klal Yisrael are ready to go out. But until they scream to Hashem, until they cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayizaku, until the Vayitzak, until they're screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is not really ready to look at them fully. You always need tefillah. A Jew always needs tefillah. That's a really important thing. There's things in life that are supposed to happen to you, but until you daven over it, it can't take it across the finish line. Yeah, Sam. That's right. That's right. To daven in a real way, especially when all the pieces are lined up, right? I mean, Klal Yisrael know the pieces are lined up. They're sensing that it's time to get out, right? But they're not assuming, okay, so whatever, just let it play out. It'll play itself out. No. No, they're davening in a real way, right? A person who's done everything right to get the deal into position, now they're just, you know, they're going to the closing today at 4 p.m. and everything's lined up. Right, everything's perfect, but they need to daven as if everything's collapsing, as if the whole thing's falling apart. To remind yourself that Hashem runs the world, that Hashem has to sign off on anything and everything. And no one makes a move without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't make a single move in this world without Hashem. It's a very, very powerful idea. Okay, Chaver, let's do one last Ramban. We'll do one more for today. And then either tomorrow or Thursday, we'll get back to, we'll do some more Ramban. Okay, let's jump to last week's parsha. Let's go to Vayera. And let's go to Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. Very beginning of Vayera. Very beginning of this past week's parsha. Okay, it's a longer piece, but we'll just do a little part of it. Okay, let's take it on page 'Kay, you see the paragraph on Reish Chaf Aleph, Chacham Rabbi Avram? On page Reish Chaf Aleph, Chacham Rabbi Avram Pirish. Okay? On page Reish Chaf Aleph, the very first, second page of Vayera. Okay, what's happening again? Let's just roll it back to this past Shabbos for a second. Vayedavri Elokim Moshe v'yomer elav ani Hashem. I'm just reading the Psukim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, how does Shemo send? How does Parsha Shemo send? Moshe says what? Yeah, everything's falling apart, right? You sent me to help Klal Yisrael, and everything's just getting worse. Hashem says, no, relax, Moshe. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro. And then Va'era begins, Va'yadabri Elokim al Moshe, Va'yomer Elav Ani Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm Hashem, I've got this, right? Ani Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, HaYehovah V'yiyah. Don't worry, I got this. I was the God in the past, I'm God right now. I'm going to show how much I'm God in the future. Just relax. Moshe, don't get nervous. And then the pasuk says, "Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov bekel Shakai, u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem." Hashem says to Moshe, "You know, I had a relationship with the Avos, and I revealed myself to them with the name Kel Shakai. But my name Hashem lo nodati lehem," which Rashi explained this past Shabbos. Rashi explained that the Avos, they knew Hashem and they heard the promises of Hashem, but they hadn't seen them carried out all the way. Which is pretty amazing to think about it, right? Hashem made promises to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They didn't live to see the punchline. Hashem says to Moshe, now I'm going to pay my debts. I made promises to the Avos. They believed in me even though I was Kel Shakai, somewhat concealed. Go tell Bnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Now I'm going to open things up. Now I'm going to show you that I'm faithful. Like Rashi says, I'm prepared to pay my debts, my promises. Okay? So he quotes Ibn Ezra explaining the name Kel Shakai, but if you look just like two lines into it, where it says Ve'inyan HaKosuv, in that paragraph. Ve'inyan HaKosuv, to understand what's happening here. Does everyone see it on page Reish Chaf Aleph, top right-hand paragraph? Ve'inyan HaKosuv, listen to this, and this is going to be very important for what we're going to learn in this week's Parsha. Okay, this is just trying to catch up and get ourselves back on track. Ve'inyan HaKosuv, ki nira la'avos b'shem hazeh, shehu menatzeach ma'arachos shamayim, V'la'asos imam nisim gedolim, shelo nisbatel mehem min hagol. Chavra, did the Avos see open miracles the way that Klal Yisrael are experiencing open miracles in Va'era and Bo? Now you'll tell me, well, hold on, I've read some Midrashim. Avram saw some cool magic tricks. Avram was thrown into a kivshon ha'esh and he walked out alive. There were some pretty incredible miracles. But in terms of the Pashup Shad, you just read the Pesukim, the Avos, they weren't Zocheto. Again, the Midrashim fill in all these things that happened on the way to the Akedah, this happened and that happened. But in terms of the Pesukim, do the Avos experience open miracles? Ozzy, what do you got? You have Sarah getting pregnant? I don't know. Is that an open miracle? That a woman became pregnant?
At 90?
You hear crazy stories. We would call it miraculous, but is it miraculous in like a supernatural way? Stone. Or it's just Sodom, the destruction of Sodom?
I mean,
Did the Avos live, again, were their daily lives, Were they filled with, again, this next kufa of Va'era and Bo, it's going to be like miracle after miracle after miracle, right? Wild things. So there are moments, you're right, you're pointing to moments. You're pointing to moments. But look at the words again. Ki nira la'avos b'shem hazeh. I appear to the avos with the name Kel Shakai. You know what that means, Kel Shakai? Shehu menatzeach ma'arachos shamayim. I dominate. Right? It's a name of victory. Menatzeach. Hashem is victorious. Hashem dominates the ma'arachos shamayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu dominates the what? The ma'arachos shamayim. The natural order, the patterns of the heavens. V'la'asosimam nisim gedolim. And Hashem made huge miracles. Shalonis batol mehem minag ha'olam. But miracles that don't negate the minag ha'olam. That don't negate nature. It didn't overturn nature. In other words, b'ra'av pada osam mimavis. U'v'milchama midei cheref. When you think about the famines, right? The famine that the Avos survived. You think about the wars, the battles that Avram fought in, where he was the underdog and emerged victorious. Again, we would say, wow, it's a miraculous victory, but there was nothing miraculous in terms of the pshat of how Avram won those wars. V'laseis lahem osher v'chavod v'chol tova. And just the incredible success that they had. They'll say, wow, it's like a nace how successful they were. How did they become so successful? So we would say, it's a nace, but it's not miraculous in a supernatural way. V'heim k'chol ha'yi'udim shabatorah b'brachos u'b'klalos. And in fact, this is what we find in the Torah. Does the Torah promise us? We said Shema today, no? You said Shema today. What does the Torah promise you for being a good Jew? What's your reward? Olam haba? It doesn't say olam haba. Rain. Right? If you're a farmer, you'll have rain. If you work on Wall Street, the market will get better. That's what rain means. Rain means shafa, bracha. But in an olam hazadik way, it doesn't say you're going to get olam haba. Where does the Torah talk about olam haba? Doesn't. Now don't bug out. Don't get nervous. Right? Look at the Kli Yakar, the beginning of Parshas Bechukosa. He collects a whole list of reasons from the Rishonim why olam haba is not more explicitly mentioned in the Torah. One of them is what we're about to read. So the Avos were the recipients. They were good Jews, so to speak. Jews. Right, prior to Kabbalah Sattar, but they were good Jews, and they had great success. Right, there's something miraculous about that. Ki lo tavo ala adam tova b'schar mitzvah ora ba'onash avera rak b'maisa hanes. Because the fact that your mitzvahs and your averos matter is miraculous. No? That's miraculous. Why should it be that because I honor my parents, I get a long life? If you tell me I eat in a healthy way and I exercise and I protect my body in that way and I don't smoke and drink and then I live a long life, that makes sense. But because I honor my parents, I get a long life? Because I do this mitzvah, that makes it rain? What's the maha kesher? That's a big miracle, no? That's very weird. What's the connection between the two? Where's the cause and the effect? That's a miracle. The fact that good or bad falls upon a person because of a mitzvah and a veira, that's a maisa nes. You would think that if a person was just, you know, left to his ways, then I don't know, like what's the connection? What's the kesher? How does that impact? How does it make things better or worse? Because you're a better Jew, so that makes it rain? You have financial success? How about if you go to Warden, then you have financial success? What is learning Gemara? What is being a good Jew? What does davening have to do with financial success? Underline that. The reward and the punishments of the Torah in this world are all miraculous, but in a way of nistar. It's actually a very big open secret that we believe in. That my spiritual actions have a ripple effect in physicality. That's wondrous. If we actually believe that, that's a wondrous thing. I daven and Hashem responds. How does that work? I do a mitzvah and I get a reward? I get a physical reward? How does that work? Yechashev behem l'roem shehu minhago sha'olam. To the untrained eye, it appears to an outsider like it's just the way of the world. Sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the business deal goes through, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes a person is healthy, sometimes they're not. It's all kind of random. V'heim ba'odam onesh v'schar be'emes. But in truth, it's really what? Everything that happens in our life is reward and punishment. Everything is with a calculation. Right? And it's really wondrous if you think about it. Umipnei zeh concludes the Ramban, and then I'll take your comments. Umipnei zeh ta'aricha Torah b'yudim shebaolam hazeh. And therefore, listen to this. This is such a great punchline. He's still quoting from the Ibn Ezra. Listen to this. He says, I think he's quoting the Ibn Ezra. I think this is still quoting from the Ibn Ezra. Umipnei zeh ta'aricha, or maybe it's the Ramban speaking, I'm not sure. Umipnei zeh ta'aricha Torah b'yudim shebaolam hazeh. Therefore, the Torah speaks ta'arich. The Torah speaks at length about what? Like we say in Shema. Right? The reward and punishment of the Torah is very much a thing of this world. Lo tivayir yu'udei ha-nefesh ba'olam ha-neshamos. The Torah doesn't speak about what's going to happen to your neshama when it leaves its body. The Torah does not speak a lot about that. There's allusions to it here and there. But the Torah is very much a book for what? For schar va'onesh, for successful life in this world. Listen to this. Ki eile mosim shekeneged ha-toledes. Because these wondrous things that are against, that don't make sense. The fact that you do a mitzvah and it rains? What's the connection? Right? These things, which are so unnatural. V'kiyum ha-nefesh v'davka be'elokim hu davar roi b'tolada. But the fact that your neshama is going to return to its source is totally natural. You hear what he's saying here? He's saying, what's more interesting? Right, so we would say, what's interesting? Tell me about the soul. What happens to the soul after it leaves the body? So Ramban's saying, that's not interesting at all. That's not interesting at all. The soul returns to a world of soulfulness? Of course it does. The fact that the neshama returns to its source? That makes sense. You want to tell me you learn a blot of Gemara and that helps you in your financial success? That's wacky stuff. That's wild. Right? So the Torah is actually talking about the more interesting thing. It seems to be talking about something like very regular, but it's actually saying a much bigger chiddush. Look at the words one more time. Ki eila mosim sheneged ha-toledes. Because these miracles that we're experiencing are daily miracles, what the Ramban is calling our daily miracles. Schar va'onesh. That our mitzvot and our veros matter, that is against nature. That's wild. That my spiritual actions have an effect on physicality is a wild idea. But kiyum ha-nefesh, but the fact that my soul is eternal, v'davka be'elokim, that it clings to its creator, hu davar roi b'tolada, that's natural, that's normal, of course it is. My soul is a piece of Hashem, so of course it goes back to Hashem. Shehi tashuv be'elokim asher nesana, it goes back to the one who gave it. That's not a chiddush. The Torah doesn't need to write that. The Torah doesn't need to tell you what happens to your neshama after it leaves your body. That's obvious. You want to hear something interesting, says the Torah. You do a mitzvah, and Hashem says, and I'll give you success in this world. That's a chiddush. That's why the Torah speaks a lot in that language. Very interesting way. Very counterintuitive on a certain level. Okay, let's take a couple of comments and then we'll stop here for today. Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot. Again, we have a lot of information that we try to collect, but at the end of the day, like the Navi says, no one knows exactly what it is. Ayin lo rasa, no eye has seen it. Only you know Hashem. Right? Again, how Chazal knows certain things about it. Again, at the end of the day, the way the Rambam writes when it comes to Mashiach, we don't know exactly how Mashiach works. The Rambam says, our job is not to predict when Mashiach's coming. Our job is not to figure out exactly what it's going to be. Our job is to be good Jews and to daven and long for Mashiach. Period. So, our job is not to solve it per se. Right? But it's very interesting that when you actually stop and think about it, it's pretty interesting that the Torah hardly ever talks about, our main eternal existence. It's all reward in this world. But the Ramban's saying, and again, maybe he's quoting the Ibn Ezra, that's more interesting. It's more interesting to present that. Yeah.
Just to push back, I guess, could you say that certain things would naturalistically make a lot better longevity, like gratitude, or...
So there's a sort of natural. Yeah, that's true.
Not getting into bad situations.
It's a good point.
I think some of the mitzvot would do kind of translate. I think if you look around, I think someone who's living a more spiritual and temporal life is going to have a more balanced lifestyle than someone who's a hedon.
Right. Coach. Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. We could try to take a somewhat of a rational approach to mitzvot and explain why these are good for your mental health and your emotional health and your physical health, Right? But we don't want to reduce kosher into saying, you know, eating kosher is more healthy, and that's why. Right? It's obviously much more than that. But you're right, there's a certain truth to that. Yeah. Okay, Chaver, let's pause here for today. Let's take a little break.